We're talking about Wisconsin's maritime history on this edition of Wisconsin Weekend. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Two museums are preserving our state's maritime history and that of the Great Lakes region, and both museums have been around for 50 years now. And at this milestone, we're exploring shipbuilding and shipwrecks and the shipping cargo industry. Wisconsin shipyards contributed to our nation's growth during the 1900s and its defense during World War II by building ships and submarines. What maritime history do you want to know about in Wisconsin? Do you ever go wreck diving in the Great Lakes? What are some of your favorite hotspots? We're at 800-642-1234. Kathy Green is an underwater archaeologist and acting executive director of the Wisconsin Maritime Museum at Manitowoc. Kathy, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Thank you. Good morning.
And we also have Kevin Osgood on the line. He's executive director of the Door County Maritime Museum. Kevin, welcome.
Thank you. Good to be here.
Well, Kathy, let's start with you. The Wisconsin Maritime Museum in Manitowoc and the Door County Maritime Museum are both celebrating this milestone of 50th anniversaries. What does the Wisconsin Maritime Museum have in store for people this year?
Well, we have we have over 100 events going on this year. We want to be able to invite folks into the museum who might haven't been there before, haven't been there in a long time, and explore Wisconsin's maritime history. So throughout the year, we have events going on. We also are open year-round, too. We have a set of exhibits, and, of course, we have the World War II submarine USS Cobia, which is one of our main draws.
And we're going to get into Cobia in a little while, but you're really wanting to take people by their hand and really understand this deep maritime tradition we have here. So you've got shipwreck lectures and you've got some exhibit openings. What do we have in store?
Yeah, I mean, it's really a combination of things, exactly. So something for everyone. We have student programs. We have spring break programs to, teach underwater robot building to kids during spring break. We have, as you said, lectures on the weekend for folks who want to learn more about shipwrecks or certain aspects of maritime history. Again, this is about making connections to the maritime world that people might not necessarily think is part of their history that they might have a connection to. But because maritime history is so important to all of us here in Wisconsin, there are connections all over the place.
Well, Kevin, let's travel to your museum. The Door County Maritime Museum has several locations. You have Sturgeon Bay, you have Cana Island Lighthouse in Bailey's Harbor, and then you have the Death's Door Maritime Museum in Gill's Rock. What will these three ports of call have on offer for people?
Well, this year, a lot. Like Kathy said, it seems like hundreds of events are going on. But this year in the Door County Maritime Museum, celebrating the museum itself as an organization, which started in Gill's Rock being 50 years old. But the Gill's Rock Museum is much smaller than the Sturgeon Bay facility, but it is truly a community museum that reflects everything that happened at the northern end of Door County over the last couple hundred years. And we're opening a new exhibit this summer for commercial fishing up there, and the families and the people that were involved in that will be profiled in that. Coming down the peninsula to Cane Island Lighthouse, that lighthouse turns 150 this year, and we'll be celebrating that birthday on August 7th, which just happens to be a National Lighthouse Day. And we're building an interpretive center in partnership with the County of Door on the island, which we hope to have open later in the season, which will be a place where you can come in, get some break in the air conditioning, purchase your tickets to go up the lighthouse and see some exhibits on the history of the island. And at the main museum in Sturgeon Bay, the tugboat John Purvis is turning 100 years old. We just got confirmation yesterday that we'll have a U.S. Army color guard there for the ceremony for the birthday for the tugboat, which will happen on the 1st of May. And why is there's an Army color guard coming for that? Because the tugboat served in the Army and the Navy during World War II. So it has a rich, interesting history. And in the museum, a brand new shipwrecks exhibit that opened last May is being kind of revamped and upgraded and reopening at the beginning of May this year for the season. And everything that already exists in there with the history of shipbuilding in Sturgeon Bay from the very first schooners to what's sliding off the docks today.
Talking with Kevin Osgood, he's executive director of the Door County Maritime Museum, and Kathy Green is an underwater archaeologist. She's acting executive director of the Wisconsin Maritime Museum at Manitowoc. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Have you been to these museums? Is it a tradition for you, for your family? What have you learned about Wisconsin's maritime history that surprised you and stuck with you? You can call in or tweet us at WPR Mornings. Kathy, Manitowoc has a really rich history in shipbuilding. Can you tell us about the submarines that were built during World War II and how we made those?
Yeah, so as you mentioned, Manitowoc is one of those traditional shipbuilding ports in the Great Lakes and in Wisconsin, like Sturgeon Bay. But in Manitowoc, we built 28 submarines, Gato-class submarines, during World War II. There were over 7,000 people employed around the clock, 365 days a year during that war effort to build these submarines. And the reason we have Cobia, who wasn't built in Manitowoc, she was built out in Connecticut. The reason we have her here in Manitowoc is as a memorial to those folks who helped build the submarines, to the submariners who were on them. And this is the same class, exactly the same as the ones that came out of the shipbuilding center here in Manitowoc.
When did you acquire USS Cobia?
So Cobia was used throughout the war, and after the war went to Milwaukee as a training vessel. When she was decommissioned in 1970, she was towed up to Manitowoc to be used as a submarine memorial, and that's where the Wisconsin Maritime Museum got their start, as specifically as a submarine memorial. Through the years, it grew to talk about that larger shipbuilding heritage in Manitowoc, which started long before building submarines and carries on till today. And then from there, we grew to talk about that larger maritime history of Wisconsin.
And you can really get a sense of that history as you see Cobia and as you go on your tour. Can you give us a sample of what we learn on the tour and what people tend to find most fascinating about it?
You bet. So Cobia, as museums at the core, we're storytellers. And so we have the unique opportunity to tell these stories with unique places and things, and being able to be on the decks of Cobia to hear the stories of not only the people who built these boats, but the submariners who worked on these boats is a really incredible thing. So you get to walk the decks, you get to go down into the hold, and we have it restored to its 1945 state. It is the most kind of complete and accurately restored submarine anywhere, and so you can tour through all the cabins through a guided tour. So you'll be in the forward torpedo compartments and hear about some of the harrowing things that transpired on Cobia. For example, being depth charged for over 8 hours during the war and being forced into the mud in the bottom of the ocean where it was for over 8 hours while it was being depth charged by the Japanese before it was able to finally resurface heavily damaged and make it back into port.
We are unlocking the history and science of the Great Lakes maritime world with two maritime museum leaders. Kathy Green heads up the Wisconsin Maritime Museum at Manitowoc, and Kevin Osgood, executive director of the Door County Maritime Museum. Has visiting these museums been a tradition for your family? What are your favorite exhibits, and which ones are you eager to check out this year? Join in at 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. We'll be back in a minute on the Ideas Network. It's Wisconsin Weekend. We're talking about our state's maritime history. I'm Kate Archer-Kent, and we have set sail, going back in time to learn about shipbuilding and shipping and how our state's shipyards made an impact on our country's development. Maritime, big business here. Great Lakes ports in Wisconsin have a $1.4 billion economic impact, support about 7,500 jobs in the state. Those jobs hit all areas, tourism, recreation, marine transportation. Do you follow the freighter and ship schedule to watch the boats as they pass through? Is it a hobby of yours? What are some of your favorite boats to see? Do you work in a shipyard or build boats? What's your job like? We're at 800-642-1234. Kathy Green and Kevin Osgood stay with us. Kathy is an underwater archaeologist, acting executive director of the Wisconsin Maritime Museum at Manitowoc, and Kevin is executive director of the Door County Maritime Museum. Kevin, boat building has really also been a big part of Sturgeon Bay's past. Hundreds of naval and support vessels were built in the area, patrol boats built there. Tell us about these boats and about that history of shipbuilding.
Well, the boat building and shipbuilding in Sturgeon Bay started back in the 1860s. That's how long commercial shipping and the boat and shipbuilding has been going on in Door County. 1860s, they were building schooners. But it was really in the 1940s, the ramp up to World War II, that Sturgeon Bay became a boom town in northeast Wisconsin. I saw a documentary that showed the number of vehicles and carpools and bus lines of people coming up from Green Bay and other cities every day to get jobs in the shipyard to build these boats. And they put hundreds and hundreds of them in the water as part of the war effort. One of the biggest ones was patrol craft. They're smaller than a destroyer, but larger than a PT boat, and they were out there as submarine hunters. And they were about 170 feet long, and there were only four shipyards in the country building these. But Sturgeon Bay built probably close to 100 of them, and they have some amazing histories. And one of those boats that was built in Sturgeon Bay, I think it was my first day on the job, I received an envelope in the mail, and you open it up and there's an invitation to the commissioning of one of these patrol craft, and it was signed by about five different people that worked on building that boat. And then there was another piece of paper in there with a print, a memorial dinner that was held because that boat was sunk in World War II. Well, that sent us off trying to figure out exactly what happened to it. And it actually was the only patrol craft sunk by a submarine during World War II. Happened in the Mediterranean, and it was torpedoed by an Italian submarine. And you think, wow, that's a good story to know with a horrible ending, but it gets even odder in that the Italians prosecuted the captain for wasting a torpedo on such a small American boat. So just an odd little story of the connection that the people in Door County have that worked in the shipyards and built these ships and sent them out even today to all over the world from little old Sturgeon Bay.
Well, fast forward, Kevin, to the 50s, and Sturgeon Bay's Rowan Steamship Company purchased this boat called the John Purvis. Can you tell us about this boat?
The Purvis is, you look at it when you drive by, if you've been through Sturgeon Bay, it's the big red tugboat tied up behind our museum. It's 150 feet long, almost as big as those sub chasers. And it has a very interesting history because it was built in Pennsylvania as a coal steam-fired tugboat. And she quickly earned a reputation of just being quite a powerful boat. But she went into service in World War II, first for the Navy as a radio station in the Caribbean. And then not long after that, the Army took over the boat, renamed it LT-145. And from Duluth, Minnesota, she was crewed up with Army personnel and sent from Duluth through the Great Lakes, through the St. Lawrence Seaway to the North Atlantic. She made her way down around Florida, through the Gulf of Mexico, down the coast of Mexico, through the Panama Canal, up to Seattle, where she was based in Seattle, and she ran supplies to the outer outposts that the U.S. Army was defending the Aleutian Islands in Alaska from Japanese attacks. So she ran back and forth in the North Pacific, this 150-foot tugboat with three little 20-millimeter cannons on her, and that's what she did for the duration of the war. And the interesting stories continue. About a month ago, we had a family donate their grandfather's albums and pictures, and he was an Army communications enlisted person aboard the Purvis LT-145 during World War II. Well, he has photos of the tugboat at sea in the North Pacific in these giant waves. He has the hand-drawn map and drew every little port they stopped at along the way to get fuel and supplies as they went to Seattle. And it just knowing that type of history. And then she came back to the Great Lakes after the war and did a lot with shipping and towing in the logging industry. In 2003, Rowan Steamship Company reacquired her. She was donated to the Maritime Museum. They spent several years and almost 30,000 volunteer hours restoring her to what she looked like in the 1960s. And she's open four tours during the summer.
What a story. Wow. And Kathy, in honor of Women's History Month, the Wisconsin Maritime Museum has this pop-up exhibit called Ladies of the Lake. Can you tell us about the women featured in this exhibit?
Yeah, well, you know, it's women were an important part of maritime history, but those voices weren't already always heard. And so what we tried to do for Women's History Month is disperse these stories throughout the galleries, talking about women from Wisconsin who were a part of that maritime story. For example, there was a woman who her husband was a Navy scientist, and he passed away, and she picked up his work, making flares and signals for the U.S. Navy and for the Maritime Service, and she developed something very unique. We have examples of her work in the museum, and we tell her story. We also have a Wisconsin woman artist who worked right in Manitowoc, who did some beautiful oil paintings and watercolor paintings of ships in our harbors, and so we have examples of her work up as well.
Well, Kathy, Sarah called in to ask if there is anything about canoes in the museums, any connection to that Native American history on the lakes.
Oh, that is a wonderful question, because when our Women's History Month exhibit comes down at the end of the month, we have a dugout canoe that we're installing in kind of this entry area of the museum to talk about exactly that, indigenous use of the waterways. So dugout and birch bark canoes were certainly some of the earliest watercraft used on Wisconsin waterways, and that's a very important story that we're just beginning to tell at the Wisconsin Maritime Museum, and that we're going to be working with tribes over the next year or two to be able to fill in that story. But again, starting April 1st, we're going to be featuring dugout canoe as part of that Indigenous Waterways exhibit.
And Kevin, beyond the historical aspect and really digging into the past here and putting all of the clues together about Wisconsin's maritime history, this past winter, the Door County Maritime Museum posted a schedule showing when people could expect to see cargo ships coming in. What do you think it is about boats that grabs hold of us, captivates us?
You know, I'm not sure, but there is something special about the Great Lakes ships, and listeners will be happy to know. We learned something just last night that if you want to see the ships get underway from the Winter Fleet, where they've been staged all winter in Sturgeon Bay, tomorrow would be a good day to be up and be at the shoreline along the in Sturgeon Bay. Tomorrow, at least three of the Lakers will get underway and start getting back in the business of keeping the shipping industry moving. But for the winter, they come in, these giant ships, anywhere from 500 to 1,000 feet or longer, come into Sturgeon Bay, 8 to 10, 12 of them sometimes. And during the time that the lakes are the most treacherous and iced up, they work. And they do work on these ships all winter long. And the very moment that ice is broken up enough to put those ships back to work, they get underway again. And we got a little information that tomorrow that's what they're starting to get underway. And these ships have been around for a very long time, and it's the nature of the water that they sail on that they actually last longer than they would if they were in salt water. So some of these ships have been in service more than 50 years. And there's a couple of them out there that have just they all have fantastic histories. One of them in particular was with the Edmund Fitzgerald on the night that happened, and that ship still sails the Great Lakes today, and you can see it from time to time. And the industry, the amount of heartbeat that these 50 or so ships provide to the economy of our country is just amazing. I mean, think of all the steel mills that are along the Great Lakes And the only way these steel mills can get the materials they need to manufacture steel in the quantities they need is from these ships. So it's a very important part of our economy and the history along the Great Lakes.
Well, Kathy, we only have a few seconds left, but there are hundreds upon hundreds of shipwrecks along the Great Lakes. You're an underwater archaeologist. What can we learn from shipwrecks very quickly?
Yeah, so, written history can only tell us so much. And so archaeology, studying these artifacts, these basically time capsules, these are museums themselves on the bottom of the lake. These add a nice complement to our maritime history. If you think about it, you know, if a ship wrecked in 1865, everything on that ship was there that day. And so it's a really great way for us to add to that historic record with some material culture.
Kathy, thank you for joining us.
You bet. Thank you.
Kathy Green is an underwater archaeologist, acting executive director of the Wisconsin Maritime Museum at Manitowoc. And Kevin, thank you.
Thank you for having us.
Kevin Osgood is executive director of the Door County Maritime Museum. Coming up, getting outside for some exercise can do wonders, but certainly the elements can get in the way. We'll talk about getting some fresh air after this news update on the Ideas Network.